your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. And finally, it has warmed up. It actually started to yesterday. We got a little bit warmer than the weather folks thought it was going to be yesterday. We hit 54 here in Butler, which felt like, I don't know, Jamaica after what we've had for the past month and a half. We're well past that already today, and as you heard Tracy say, we're looking at a high today around 70 and 75 tomorrow. Tomorrow is the red letter day. It's supposed to be mostly sunny with a high of 75, and I would venture to say we haven't seen that since probably mid-September, or so it would seem, anyway. And it's going to stay warm all through the weekend, by the way, too. Now we'll get some chilly weather yet, you know, only approaching the halfway mark of April, but finally, it feels like April. And I would suspect, too, that it's going to start looking like April in fairly short order. It seems like the trees and the shrubbery have just been waiting to pop. And we've certainly had enough moisture, and now that we've got the warm air, I think you're going to see a pretty big change over the next week. At least we'll start to see some buds. Well, we have a good program today. A little bit later, we're going to be chatting with the president of Butler County Community College. And Dr. Nick Neupower will be with us. But our first guests here in the studio with us are both members of the Seroptimist International of Butler County. We'll say hello to Sue Levish. Sue, good to see you. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Also, Carol Landis is here. Carol, always good to see you.
Glad to be here as well. Yeah. Thank you.
Seroptimists have a pretty big event coming up here in the not-too-distant future. Carol, what is it?
Well, it's our spring fling. It's a luncheon. We have basket sales, we have raffle sales, and we also give awards to our women that are working hard to improve their lives. Mm-hmm. And we give awards to women who have already worked hard and in improving the lives of others.
So this is coming up on the 21st of April?
Yes.
That's a Saturday?
It's a Saturday, mm-hmm. Saturday afternoon.
And where will it be, Carol?
It will be at the Butler Country Club. Doors open at 10. We have vendors for people who like to do a little bit of shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And we, like I say, we have basket sales that have been donated by members as well as people in the community who have been so nicely, you know, supporting us throughout the years. And we have something that's called Buy a Prize.
You'll have to explain that to me.
Well, it's really cool. You buy a package. You have no idea what's in it, but we know it's worth more than what you pay for it. So it's always a good deal. So you never know what you're going to get.
Is it an auction or?
No. It's called Buy a Prize, and you come and you can buy a $5 package, a $10 package, $20 package, and they're usually worth at least twice the amount. So if you pay $5, it's worth $10, and so forth. And the fun part is you don't know what you're buying.
You have to open it up right away, though, don't
you? Oh, absolutely. It's almost like Christmas.
Seroptimist International does a lot of good things. And by the way, this Sue, this is international. You have clubs all over the world, right?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many countries. I know it started in the United States and spread to England, and then the rest is history. It went all over the world.
Yeah. Well, there are six different divisions, and we have North America, South America, we have China, Japan, we have England, and down into Africa. So it's pretty well, and I think we have in Australia as well.
Have you ever visited Seroptimist Club in another country?
I have not, but we have a member, Diane Thompson, who has been member since for far more years than I, and she has been all over the world visiting. They do international programs, and we had one in Disney Land World in Florida about 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. The next one is in Japan. Oh. They do those like every 2 years.
Well, if you were lucky enough to be a world traveler, I think that would be great if you were involved in an international organization. Mm. You could stop in and say hi in another country. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Very fascinating. Well, I only have gone as high as a regional meeting, and I find those very enjoyable. So I'm sure the international is even more fun because of the diversity of women.
So this is one of your, Sue, this is one of your big fundraisers, the Spring Fling.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And the funds that are raised by Sir Optimist International go where, Carol Landis?
Well, we have several projects that we do. The one that's going to be highlighted on Saturday is we have an award called Live Your Dream Award.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for a lady who has maybe had some diversity in her past, some difficulties. Many of these women have been divorced and have children, and now they're trying to improve themselves by going back to school.
Okay.
So we have two levels. We have a $1,000 winner and a $500 winner, and that's to help them with expenses. And we also have what we call the Ruby Award, and this award is given to a woman in the community who we feel has worked to improve the lives of women and girls. And we have a club member who we give an award to. And each of these people have the opportunity to give a $250 donation to a charity of their choice. So they can reach out beyond themselves.
Mm-hmm. These are all kind of kept in secret until the Spring Fling, that's when all the winners are announced?
Well, the Ruby Awards are announced but we do, the Live Your Dream Awards have been notified, and so when they come, they know they're getting an award.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exciting. And then we do some other projects. Do you want to talk about some of those?
Sue?
I'll let you talk about some of those.
Some of the projects that we have.
Can you read my name? Right here.
Mm-hmm. So some of our additional monthly projects are A Place to Lay My Head. A Place to Lay My Head are apartments that we furnish, and sometimes we fully furnish them. Some of them we only partially furnish. These are for women who are head of household. A lot of them are homeless,
mm-hmm.
and they've had to go through a whole series of classes through the Area Agency on Human Services, I believe it is. And once they go through that, and we supply these apartments full of everything that they would need, then they have about a year to live there to try to become self-sufficient. At the end of that time, they have to move. But they can take all of the furniture, everything that we have furnished for them, they can take with them.
Mm.
That's a great project.
Some of these women would have children,
Women have children, and we provide for the children, whether it's a little boy or a little girl, it doesn't matter, or she might have two or three children, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
We will supply everything that they would need. We also have a program called Michelle's Mission. She was one of our members who died from breast cancer. We make those little fleece blankets, and we take them to a local cancer treatment center that can be handed out to men or women that are being treated for cancer. We have a little Girl Scout troop that we help fund. If they need... like if they need uniforms or if they need money to go on a little trip like to Kennywood,
mm-hmm.
We always provide them with a Christmas party. But they come from lower income families usually, but we do provide for them, and that is a wonderful little thing for the little girls. Now, they'll be at our Spring Fling. Some of them will be at the Spring Fling, and it's just nice to see them. They get all dressed up. They're all excited to be there. They'll help distribute the gifts for the winners whenever the tickets are pulled. We have a scholarship with BC3. We have a program where we help women veterans. We provide financing, and the VA then will distribute that to women veterans that are struggling financially, whether it's whether they've been injured, whether they're having trouble finding work, whether they're alone and they might have a child and that their child needs something. But it's up to the VA. We'll distribute that money, and they keep track of where all that money goes.
The scholarships, I'm assuming this is for non-traditional students, older women, in other words?
Yes, yes.
And what I meant, older, I mean, not
well, they're various
not
ages.
Not 18 or 19, you know, not just out of high school.
Yeah. Well, the Live Your Dream tend to be a variety of ages. We get most of our applications through BC3 because of the program that the KEYS program that they do there. And I have to tell you that it's very difficult. All these women are so deserving. I just wish I had $1 million to help every one of them. It's very hard to say which one's better than the next.
Yeah.
Because I'm on the awards committee, and our committee spends a long time going through the applications to come up with who we think is the best winner, but they're all good.
Well, hopefully we can help you raise some funds to cover some of that at the spring fundraiser, the spring fling. Tickets are just $30, so that's pretty reasonable.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that includes the whole thing, right?
Right,
yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They can come in at 10 o'clock. They can roam around and enjoy. Then we have our luncheon at noon. And this year we have entertainment of Jeff Double, who's going to do a demonstration for us. So that's something a little different that we've not done in the past.
Yes. Have you ever seen any of his arrangements?
His floral
arrangements? And he also he reclaims things.
Yes, he does.
And it's amazing.
It is amazing. They're absolutely gorgeous. Very artistic.
Yeah. He did all of our flower arrangements last year. But, yes, he's very good.
I mean, it's a flower arrangement plus, you know.
Yes.
Lots of flowers, but all sorts of things that you wouldn't expect to find in a floral arrangement. He does good stuff. His store's downtown, by the way.
Correct.
So you have an adopted Girl Scout troop. I didn't realize that. Is that something new, or have you had that for a while?
Probably 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Okay.
We started them out as the little brownies, and they're working their way up. We will follow this troop until the girls get out of the Girl Scouts, yes.
So will they wear their Girl Scout uniforms when they come on the 21st?
You know, we've always had them modeling, but we're not modeling this year. So I think they just come as they are. Maybe they'll wear their bands with their little ribbons. We haven't asked them to, though.
Merit badges, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The event, folks, is on April 21st. It's a Saturday. And, boy, all of a sudden, that's a week from this Saturday.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's coming quickly.
Saturday's the 14th.
So, you know, we still have ticket sales if anybody's interested. You have to buy the ticket ahead of time. We don't have any at the door, right, because we need to plan and the country club needs to plan. So
sure. How many are you going to have for lunch? Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. So we're hoping. We're still working on the sales. So
what's the – I'm gathering from what you said, Sue and Carol, that the main mission of Sir Optimist is to help women and girls.
Yes. Absolutely.
Can I be correct on that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And every club has their individual goals that they help in their community. And then, of course, as we go regional and global, there are some at the global level, the international level, that all the clubs support. Hmm. And those are things that we as individual clubs would not individually be able to do, but as a group we're able to do lots of things, providing clean water, providing ladies with tools for their trade, and do a lot with human trafficking and all those kinds of issues that it's difficult for us to do.
So if all the clubs around the world contribute a little bit, then you have enough funds to handle those projects each year.
Yeah. And also, some of the winners at club levels can go to district and regional and international. So some of these winners, these young ladies that are getting the Live Your Dream Award, could eventually get up to the international level where they can get $10,000. So all along the way, they're winning money. They're very, very high on education and educating women, because while here in our country, that's not a problem usually with women educating, but so many countries, the women are not even allowed to go to school.
Look at that poor girl in Afghanistan. It was 5 or 6 years ago that was shot simply because she wanted to go to school. You remember that?
I do.
Came to the United States and you know, was successfully healed. And I just saw a couple of weeks ago where she went back to the Middle East, back to our home country. But that's why she was shot, shot in the head, because she wanted to go to school. Can you imagine that?
I can't. And you know, it's just so hard to believe the differences in all the countries and how they view women. And that's, I think that's really how Sir Optimus got started, knowing that there were all these situations happening. And as individuals, we can't do much, but as a group, we can do a lot. So
I saw a translation of Sir Optimus online. It said women's best or something like that.
Best for women.
Best for women is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm a Latin scholar. That's kind of a loose translation. Optimist certainly is best. That comes from the Latin word. But soror means sister, not woman. So kind of a little...
Well, we broadened it.
Loose. Well, you know, it means the same thing, really.
Well, I just think, you know, that has been the premise of Sir Optimist. And it's comprised of a lot of business women. Mm-hmm. So everybody, you know, has their own thing that they can contribute in terms of their personal business and their personal training. So when you get a group like ours, you know, there's such a diverse group of women that what one can't do, somebody can do. And that's what makes it nice. One of the projects that I'm not sure we mentioned that's not on this list is to work with young ladies, and we're working on a project to help build esteem in our girls, you know, in the late elementary, early junior high, to help them realize that they can and, you know, do, and there are people there to help them to meet some of the things they would like to do.
Is that a problem with young girls, preteens and early teens, lack of self-esteem?
Well, I think it's getting better, but I don't think it's universal, you know, everywhere. I think it depends on how their mothers perceive themselves and their grandmother, because that's where you begin to get confidence in your young girls, is how their mothers, how strong their mothers are.
I read a Wire story a couple of months ago that that said part of the reason for that is because so many of the images of young women that we see in TV commercials and in magazine ads and so on are, well, those of us who are adults, we realize, you know, they take 1,000 pictures to get the one that they want, and then they Photoshop that one to you know, make a person meet what Hollywood considers most attractive, and little girls compare themselves to that, and they don't understand that this is about as artificial as you can possibly get. It's not real life, you know.
No, I mean, I saw a program where they show how they did it, and you know, even I, knowing this, you know, I didn't really, you know, think about it and really realize, you know, how they're taking another person and make them look even better than they are to sell their image. And it is difficult because a lot is based on image, and you know, sometimes children just don't understand, and children can be cruel to children. And
yes. Well, that goes way back. But, yeah. I think it's exacerbated today for, and, you know, it's a sensitive age for girls. A lot of things are happening in their lives, and they really don't need to try to compare. Because anybody's going to lose if you compare them. Compare yourselves to these pictures of models, for goodness sakes.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's just not, it's not real life, you know?
Nope. But I think, you know, that's what Stroptimus is really trying to do, is to help women who are helping themselves, and also to help girls have good esteem of themselves and mm-hmm. and come forth so that they can perhaps miss some of these pit holes that happen.
One of the other problems we have these days that we didn't have a generation or two ago is cyberbullying, online bullying, you know, where I can remember when I was in junior high school, you know, the worst thing that you did was pass notes back and forth. Nowadays, you post something online and, you know, make fun of somebody or mock them or bully them or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it can be devastating for a young girl who's 10, 11, 12, 14 years old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cyberbullying. Aren't you glad we didn't have to put up with that?
Oh, I'm so glad. my skills when it comes to all that stuff are so limited.
Do you, Sue, you're going to be the new president, right, soon?
I will be, yes.
Mm-hmm. And Carol, you're a past president.
I'm a past president, yes. Mm-hmm.
Who's the current president of the Butler chapter of Sir Optimus?
Marianne Heal.
Oh, my goodness, I know her.
You know her? Okay,
yes.
Yeah, I think you
lovely
do, yes.
Lady. Lovely
yes,
lady.
Yes, so she's the one that keeps us all in line, and yes. She's a good leader.
Does the club meet on a regular basis? I don't know, like once a month or something like that?
We do. We meet on the fourth Tuesday mm-hmm. of every month. And currently we meet at the YWCA.
Mm-hmm. On West Cunningham Street.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more with our guests here on It's Your Turn on WISR in just a moment. Quick program note, we've got Pirate Baseball coming up today. And we'll be checking in at Wrigley Field in Chicago. We'll be going there just prior to 2 o'clock. We'll be cutting our program short by a couple of minutes today to pick up Pirate Baseball at 2 o'clock this afternoon. One of our sponsors on the program today is Gone Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. Folks, have you heard about this place? It's really neat. I can attest to that because I've utilized their services already. And it's so convenient, you know, most of us don't mail a package every day, or even every week, for that matter. And so it's a scramble when you have something you got to mail. I know I had to mail something that was rather fragile, and, you know, right-sized box, too big, too small. Where's the bubble wrap? Where are those little styrofoam peanuts or whatever? Then you need the mailing labels and the special tape. You don't have to worry about any of that. Just take your item to Gone Postal Butler, just behind King's and Villa Grande Restaurant off Newcastle Road, top of the hill there. And they package your items for shipping. Mm. They do it all. And it's quick, and it's very reasonable price. You can ship it any way you want, by the way. If you want to send it U.S. Postal Service or FedEx or UPS, they'll do it for you. They provide other services as well, copying, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals. They even have a notary there, so if you need to get something notarized before it ships out, you can take care of it right there. The address is 140 Shockey Lane. It's in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, again, right behind the King's and Villa Grande restaurants off Newcastle Road. Just follow the signs, and there you are. Here's a phone number. You can call them for more info, 724-841-0044. Goin' Postal Butler. Your friendly neighborhood shipping center. One of our other sponsors on the program is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. And my goodness gracious, what a great job these people, most all of them volunteers, do for the less fortunate and the needy here in our area. They operate a food bank. They serve hundreds and hundreds of people every month. They also have a client aid program, and that will help a needy family with a you know, an electric bill or a medical bill come the end of the month. So how do they fund the food bank and the client aid program? Well, partly through the operation of the thrift store, the St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store, which is in the Greater Butler Mart, south of Butler, Route 8, just south of Butler. And it's so easy to donate items there if you're doing spring cleaning and you end up with a bunch of stuff you don't need or don't want, or if it's clothing, maybe it doesn't fit anymore. Don't just throw it away, because you know where it goes? It goes into the landfill. We don't need to do that. If you donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, somebody else can purchase that at a price they might likely not have been able to afford otherwise. And every penny of proceeds from the operation of that store goes back into the food bank and the client aid program. So think about that. Society of St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store, Greater Butler Mart, Route 8 South. There's plenty of free parking right outside the door, and the drop-off bins are right inside the front door. We stand tallest when we stoop to help others. That's what they like to say at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. We chat here today on this segment of It's Your Turn with Sue Nevish, and also Carol Landis is here. Sue Levish is the president-elect of the local chapter of Sir Optimist International. I'm gathering, because you two smile so much when you talk about what you do in the club, Sue, there's a social aspect to this, right? You meet new friends, you have a good time.
Oh, yes. I would never have met the majority of the women that are involved in this organization if I hadn't joined. And Mary Ann Hill is the one who got me into the group. And I know she was so exuberant in her desire to be in this club and what all they do and the goodness that they do, that it was just catching.
Well, next time you see Marianne, tell her Dave said hi.
I will tell her.
I haven't seen her for a while. Do you accept new members at any particular time during the year, Carol?
Absolutely. We are having a meeting this year, April 24th. If anybody's interested, they need to contact a member. And we are doing new members, so we welcome them. They can call Marianne at 724-321-1309, and she would be glad to help them. Also, for ticket sales, if they're interested in coming, ticket sales are still open until early part of next week. And they can call Marianne. They can also call Barbara Brandon, 724-287-6248.
And there will be no tickets at the door, so you need to get them in advance. For the Spring Fling, A Time to Bloom. It's the fundraiser, one of the big fundraisers of the year for Sir Optimist International, the Butler chapter of Sir Optimist International. We were talking, I think it was before we went on the air, about when the local chapter was founded, and it was a long time ago.
1953.
Wow, that's 60-some years ago,
right? 65 years.
65. Oh, 65. Mm-hmm. We need to bake a cake. 65th anniversary, huh? Well, that's a rich history here locally of good works, because you've put the proceeds of all your fundraising efforts to very good causes down through, and you continue to do that, yeah. Well, we'll look forward to the announcement of your Live Your Dream Award winners and the rest of the announcements that will be made at the Spring Fling, the luncheon. Maybe, Carol, you can go over the particulars of that as we wrap up here for folks who weren't with us at the beginning of our conversation. When and where is the Spring Fling?
The Spring Fling is April 21st at the Butler Country Club. The doors open at 10 o'clock, and we have various things going on, raffle baskets, buy your prize, 50-50. We have a lottery hat that you could win lottery tickets. And then the luncheon starts at noon, and part of that luncheon will be the award winners for our Live Your Dream Award and the Sir Optimist Ruby Award. And these are all for people, women, who are helping themselves improve, or women that have already helped women improve.
And tickets are $30, and as you said before, you must get them in advance.
Correct.
That'll be a fun day. Hope it's still warm by then, now that it's finally warming up, huh?
Yeah. Let's hope. We've been pretty lucky with our weather.
Well, ordinarily, we'd be well into warm weather by this time. You know, it's almost the middle of April. The event, by the way, is a week from Saturday, 21st, Saturday the 21st. Well, we thank Sue Levish and Carol Landis for visiting with us today. Nice to see the two of you. Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here. Thank you
nice
for having us.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
More to come on It's Your Turn. We'll take a break. We're going to be talking with Dr. Nick Neupower, the president of Butler County Community College, coming up here shortly. Also, a reminder, tomorrow on the program, we'll be talking about the history and the legacy of Pullman Standard. That was so much a part of our Butler community, and now, you know, we're a generation past Pullman Standard, and there are a lot of younger people who have no idea how big it was and how much that company meant to our area. I mean, they employed thousands of people there, and all of a sudden it was gone, you know. So we'll talk about that with a gentleman who has great knowledge of the history of the rail car plant. Jim Diamond will be with us tomorrow at 12:30, and we'll also be talking tomorrow with members of the CB Rangers. So hope he can be with us then. Okay, quick break, and we'll be back to meet our next guest here on It's Your Turn, Thursday edition, right after these words.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Signs of spring are arriving at Osterling's Lawn and Garden. With onions, garlic, and shallots arriving the week of March 12th, Easter chicks, ducks, and turkeys arrive the week of March 19th. New vegetable seeds are in stock. Start your indoor seeds with Espoma Organic Seed Starter and Potting Soil. It's also time to spray your fruit trees with a dormant oil and fertilize with Tree Fertilizer Spikes and Fertrell Organic Lawn Fertilizer. Horse owners, check out the new ADM products like Provitamin Tubs and Prime Glow Junior Glow or Senior Glow Horse Feed. You can find it all at Osterling's Lawn and Garden in Butler.
Pens and Flyers keep the rivalry rolling on Friday night in Pittsburgh as the two sides collide again for Game 2 of their Round 1 series. Penguins Live pregame kicks off all the action at 6:30 p.m., and then it's up to the booth for the call of the Pens and Philly with the Hall of Famer Mike Lang and the old 2-9er Phil Bork at 7 o'clock on the Penguins Radio Network.
Pittsburgh Penguins Stanley Cup playoff action brought to you in part by Thrower Concrete, Monday Shoes, Camisa's Auto Body, Fairground Market, Mazzani's Beans and Cream, the law firm of Dylan McCandless King, Coulter and Graham, Robert Stevens Jewelers, Butler Agway, and Bill's Interior Grooming. Hi, this is Pat Parker reminding you that you can tune to WISR 680 AM radio Saturdays after the CBS News at 10 AM for the phone party and audio auction. You can buy, sell, and trade items or mention garage or yard sales. You will also have the opportunity to bid on certificates from restaurants and other businesses and tickets from area locations. The phone number to keep in mind is 724-283-2525. That's 724-283-2525 for the phone party and audio auction on Saturdays after the 10 a.m. CBS News.
Trout fishing is tradition in Pennsylvania. It's the thrill of the catch and spending quality time with family and friends. But most of all, fishing is fun. Get your gear together and visit GoneFishingPA.com today to get your annual or multi-year fishing license and vouchers from the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission. Opening day for trout season is Saturday, April 14th throughout Pennsylvania. Reel in the memories and reel in the fun. Get your fishing license now at GoneFishingPA.com.
Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program on a Thursday. We have seen a little bit of sunshine today. We've seen a little bit of rain. Isn't that typical of mid-April? And we're almost to mid-April. We haven't had much April weather yet either, but it's finally warmed up. So don't complain about a few showers. That's part of this season of the year. Our guests are here for the next part of the program. We say hi to the president of Butler County Community College. That's Dr. Nick Neupower. Dr. Neupower, good to see you as always. Nice to have you here.
Thank you, Dave. Good to see you.
Also visiting with us is Jess Matnock. She's the executive director of communications and marketing. Jess, good to see you as well. Nice
you
to have
too.
You
too. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, it's been a busy week. Wasn't it just last night you had the open house? Was that last night at the main campus?
It was. Yeah. It was the second. We have an open house at each of our locations. There are six physical locations, including our main campus. We had Lawrence Crossing's open house the first week of the month, and then main campus was last night, and it was a fairly good turnout.
The wonderful thing about this is, you know, prospective students, and if it's high school students, parents of prospective students, they really get an overview of the college in one evening. I mean, you can find out about financial aid. You can take a tour. You can talk to professors. Dr. Neupower, you will know that when you and I were in undergraduate school, it was a rare thing to be able to talk to a real professor.
You're correct.
You know, sometimes if you needed help, you got a grad assistant you were able to chat with for 5 minutes. But I think it's wonderful the way you do it at community college. That's really good.
Yeah, and it. So the great news is, just verified this, through all of our open houses, and I think we might have at least one more at Brockway planned, that we are up 78 applications. So that is a very good sign.
Now, this would be for the fall, is that right? Fall semester?
Fall semester.
I believe for the fall semester.
For the yes, I think that's it. For the fall semester, we're up 78 applications, and I think the beauty of our main campus is that for some of these students or their parents, it might be the first time that they've been to the main campus. And over the years, I'm not quite sure what it is that people have in their mind that a community college should look like. Some of our sister institutions, Westmoreland, is just one giant building.
Let's face it, it's ugly. It looks like an old office building or something.
And actually, I believe that it is. I think that it was something that was converted back in the day.
Well, God bless them. I shouldn't be so derogatory. We're just fortunate to have a beautiful campus.
Absolutely.
Here.
Penn Highlands is very much like that, some of CCAC's branch campuses. And you head up the hill on Decatur through the beautiful new entrance, partnership with AK Steel. You round a bend, see that great big number one back-to-back ranking sign, and you see the Schaefer Walking Trail, and you know, you just end up at the Founders Hall, and it is beautiful. And last night was a beautiful, beautiful evening. I was teaching, so noticed that whenever I left my public relations class, that the parking lot seemed full, and the numbers that were shared with Jess and I and others this morning seemed to indicate that it was another good event.
Prospective students definitely take the opportunity, you know, while they're on campus to tour. I mean, there are a lot of students in the Heaton Family Learning Commons, the Student Success Center, to take a look for themselves. And then the one perk about coming to an open house is if you apply at the event, we waive the $25 application fee. So that's another perk for students to physically come to that event and see the campus for themselves.
This is an interesting story. Often you and I mention our ages and where we are in the grand scheme of things. And so I became president in 07. And literally for the first several years, maybe 7 or 8 years, our admissions director, Patty Bajuzik, who did a wonderful job, and our then dean of admissions, Bob Morris, were very happy to tout that it's unusual that the president and some of his cabinet members will actually give students tours. And I always enjoy talking and showing off the college, but I will tell you, Dave, it was the last time that I did this, notice that's past tense, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, that as I was speaking to the students, their parents very much seemed interested in what I was saying, but the students had no interest whatsoever. And that was at about the same time when our oldest daughter was visiting different campuses, different universities. Fortunately, she ended at BC3. But whenever I would talk to Tammy and Paige, Paige, our daughter, and Paige would give a debriefing of the visits, I realized that that wasn't a wise strategy. She would talk about how the tour guides were younger, they had a certain appearance, that immediately connected via social media afterward. And there was this millennial to millennial connection. And that is very much lost from Gen Xer to Millennial. So we now have some of our students who work in admissions leading the tours with some backup from the college. But we think that it's made a very good change in the positive direction.
Do you have part-time jobs for students there?
The students I think you're referencing are the ambassadors,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
Our student ambassadors. So that's something different. But we do have a part-time work-study program at the college.
Very, very important. Mm-hmm. A lot of people I know did that in one way or another. I had several fraternity brothers who were referees for intramural football or basketball games.
Mm-hmm.
And they get paid for it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you're not going to go to Acapulco on that, but helps to buy books. So,
and actually, Dave, that you bring up a very good point, and we've been strategically looking at this. So a little bit of a history. From a community college perspective, we would primarily focus on getting students in the door and then talking to them about work-study opportunities, foundation opportunities, scholarship opportunities. We've really changed our model. We're prepackaging very much like a private institution does. Mm-hmm. So when a student will express an interest in BC3, and Jess can certainly add more to this because she's been a very important part of this strategy, is that rather than figure out money on the back end, we're doing what the privates and the universities do. Here's the amount of federal money that we feel that you would be getting. Here's some of the state money. Here's what it is perhaps in getting a scholarship from the foundation. It's not just on the academic side. It could be needs-based, which is very important. Mm-hmm. And here's where work-study money comes in. And again, we were in Harrisburg. I know that we'll talk about that. The legislators seem so impressed with this. 3 out of 4 BC3 students leave debt-free. And we think that some of that has to do with the fact that we're doing this up front and allowing students to compare apples to apples. We've all heard it before, son or daughter getting scholarships from a private institution. Well, you back out the scholarships, you back out the grant money, and it's still a $25,000 expense.
No.
And it seems to be working well.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's worth repeating. We hear horror stories of students graduating from college, and they've got tens of thousands of dollars of debt, student loan debt. 3 out of 4 students who graduate from Butler County Community College, 3 out of 4 are debt-free?
That's correct.
It's a wonderful statistic.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, one other thing I wanted to mention. Oh, you said you were teaching last night. So it's a little bit unusual for a president to be leading tours. Is it unusual for a president to be teaching, or do presidents at other colleges also teach?
Actually, one of my very best friends, community college president from Luzerne, Tom Leary, great guy, became president a little bit after I did. We now represent the old-timers. I now have the longest tenure in the state of any public institution, which is scary to think. But Tom shared with me that he still does teach. He teaches U.S. history. I teach Intro to Public Relations. Our topic last night was crisis management, and I shared Jessica's ears should have been burning. I shared some very interesting crisis situations that we've had at the college. One dealt with vandalism. Another dealt with cadaver dog training on our campus. I don't know if you would recall that.
I don't know whether I want to.
Yeah. Well, we had cadaver dog training on our campus, and as there were some rookie cadaver dogs who were out and about on our 330 acres, they came across something, allegedly came across something that was not part of the training.
Oh.
And
I do remember that story, mm-hmm. Yes.
And actually, when we talked about crisis management, I think that you may know within the last couple of weeks, there's been some interesting things happening with Edinburgh University and its former president. And a lot of that, I would argue, would tied to reactive crisis management maybe lacking some of the larger strategy. And a point that I mentioned to our students, and I think BC3 would be a great example in those two situations, is that depending upon how your organization handles a crisis, don't always think that it will lead to a negative perception of your organization. Mm-hmm. There are case studies that are based on the way that the organization proactively handles the crisis, that the organization's, the public opinion, is actually stronger. Mm-hmm. And So I do teach. It is a great opportunity for me to connect to my discipline. And just like yesterday's class, some of what I talk about, I'm able to relate to my job as a president of a college.
You mentioned that you were in Harrisburg recently. Actually, there were several students that accompanied you for something called Lobby Day.
Yes.
In fact, that was this week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was. It was on Tuesday. Those students' names were Jocelyn Guy, Madison Morella, Alyssa Nusser, Chris Slay, and Lucas Carroll. So all five of those students met with State Representatives Brian Ellis, Mark Longetti, and Chris Sinato, Jim Marshall, Jim Christiana, Ted Nesbitt, and then State Senator Scott Hutchison also joined us. And those students got a chance to talk to the representatives about BC3 and how attending the community college has impacted their life for the better.
Mm-hmm. It's always time very well spent. And, from a layperson perspective, okay, five students going to Harrisburg, why do you put the time, invest the money with the mileage, the lodging, et cetera. We can directly trace our money that we get for BC3 at Brockway to a lot of time that we spent in Harrisburg in forming a relationship with Senator Scarnati. There have been other initiatives that basically dotted line back to having very good relationships, and as each of these representatives and or senators mentioned, they would much rather hear from the students than the employees and the president and the people who will sing the company line. Shout out to Representative Ellis. He just does a great job. He makes these students feel very important. The same with Senator Hutchison. Actually, they took us on tours of the House floor and also the Senate floor. Mm. And I mentioned to Commissioner Geyer, who was an ex officio on our board, mm-hmm. and she was nice enough to join us, that this is something that these students will remember for the rest of their lives.
Absolutely, yeah. And they were also trying to make the case for a slight increase in funding for the community college system. I did a story on this, which I no longer have in front of me, but I'll see if I can remember the numbers. In the governor's proposed budget, and it's just a proposal, right. It's acted upon by state lawmakers, he proposed freezing the operational budget Correct. For community colleges, all 14 of them.
Correct.
At $230-some million.
$235, that's correct.
And the community colleges, as a group, are lobbying for an increase of about $10 million all told. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. Boy, you have a very good memory. That is exactly right, and that represents, it's either $232 or $235, but the $10 million would represent inflation with the CPI. Mm-hmm. And then on the capital side, that would be for building projects, deferred maintenance. There was a slight increase. And frankly, what we're lobbying for is to move that slight capital increase into the operating side. We need some operating dollars. There were other items that we talked about. The governor has put forward a Pennsylvania Promise, I believe, type of grant initiative of $50 million. Community colleges are asking for 15 of that to go to technical training, partnerships, apprenticeships. So we think that that's in our sweet spot. And also something called EITC funds, Educational Improvement Tax Credits, that our college receives about $90,000 a year for that money. And then we're hoping that we would have greater flexibility in how it is that we can use that money.
These are a business might decide
yes.
to donate X number of dollars, and then they're able to claim that as a tax credit?
Yeah, it's an excellent program.
Mm-hmm. So this was a trip down to Harrisburg for these students. You're right. I'll never forget it. And What a concrete lesson in state government, too, by the way.
Absolutely.
You know?
And the Monday, so we go out on Sunday. While you were at home watching the Masters, I was listening, and I did get to catch the end of it. And then Monday, we had a day full of meetings. We all head off in different directions. Presidents meet. Jess meets with communications and government relations, our CFOs. Everybody has what's called an affinity group. And so it's a very busy day Monday. And then we come together on Monday evening to recognize the All-Pennsylvania Academic Team. And our college had two individuals, a fellow by the name of Chris Slay, who's a non-traditional student at BC3, as well as Marianne Steinmiller, who were given this recognition. And because of that, they're able to get full rides to the state system university of their choice. And I believe both are picking Slippery Rock University.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is quite a reward.
Yeah.
Wow.
And to hear the stories of these students from across the state, just unbelievable. The one young lady at CCAC in Pittsburgh, brought over by her family from Vietnam, and as the story was told, pretty much disowned by her family when she came to the States. And here's an individual who received this recognition and I believe has an ultimate goal, I think, of being a medical doctor, an MD, or what have you. Mm-hmm. It really does ground you in realizing why it is that we are here. Very moving.
It really shows that collective impact when you hear all of the stories of the students from each community college being honored at that dinner. And then the next day when the students from each community college meet with their legislators in their area and, again, tell their stories about that impact. I mean, community colleges serve 317,000 students across the state. We're the largest provider of education and workforce training. So those stories just really, really drive home the need for that financial support and funding.
And so we remain politically neutral at the college, particularly as it relates to president, cabinet members, and others. But I know within the last couple of weeks on a federal level, there have been some interesting comments that have been made about, you know, just what is a community college. And our president of the American Association of Community Colleges actually answered that question in a letter to the individual that made those comments. And you know, what is it, a technical college? What does community mean? You know, you look on the Hill and you look at what we're doing in northwestern Pennsylvania, four separate million-dollar gifts. The fact that we are offering this affordable, quality education to students not just in Butler, but across northwestern Pennsylvania. And to get to know, like I do, these students that I teach a Mantra to PR class, or these students who joined us for Lobby Day or to hear these stories, if you want a clear example of why investing in the country's 1,200, 1,100 community colleges, as well as Pennsylvania's 14 community colleges, sit down and hear these students' stories, and not something that should be noted. And three out of four students leaving debt-free. Our college has the second lowest default rate for student loans in the Commonwealth. And it is expected that that number will be in the 9% range. So I guess my point in bringing this up, hopefully not sounding too defensive, an investment on the front end, okay, pays dividends on the back end. These are individuals who will contribute to society. Most community college students stay within their local area, their region, and their state. And you don't have this debt bubble that some individuals have when they're going to very expensive schools. That's what an investment in a community college does.
I missed that story from the federal level. I have to go back and check on that, see where that came from. We're chatting with the president of Butler County Community College, Dr. Nick Neupower, with us here today, and also Jess Matnock, executive director of communications and marketing. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back to chat more about higher education in general and specifically at BC3 when we return here on It's Your Turn on WISR. Be right back.
Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Butler Transit now provides weekday transportation to and from Pittsburgh for just $5 one way. No worrying about traffic or expensive parking fees. Free Wi-Fi is also available. Park at a convenient park and ride or hop on the bus at the downtown bus terminal. Senior 65 and up, ride free with a senior pass. For more information, visit butlertransit.com.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us. We're going your way.
It's a Friday night in the 60s. You enter the YMCA gym and fall in line to the group circling the dance floor. The DJ announces a lady's choice, and that cute girl from homeroom asks you to dance. Relive those days as Tanglewood Entertainment Center presents Memories of Tumble In, Saturday, April 14th. Doors open at 6, dinner by Chef George at 7, dancing at 8. Guest DJs include WISR's Mr. 60s and Dave Martin. Only $25, and as always, it's BYOB. Call 287-0021 for reservations.
Welcome back, good friends. Just a quick program reminder. Tomorrow, we're looking forward to an interesting chat with Jim Diamond about the history and the legacy of Pullman Standard here in Butler. You know, we're a generation past now Pullman, and there are lots of people who live here that have no memory of just how big it was, how important it was to our economy, how many railroad cars they turned out every day, for goodness sakes, and then suddenly it was gone. And Butler survived that that economic blow. Jim Diamond has a lot of history about Pullman Standard, and he'll be with us in the studio to talk about that tomorrow. It goes all the way back to somewhere around 1900, I believe. It wasn't originally called Pullman Standard. Huh. I think it was called the Standard Car Company. But anyway, Jim will have all that information tomorrow. Looking forward to chatting with him. We'll also be talking tomorrow with some representatives from the CB Rangers. Right now we're talking with Butler County Community College President Nick Newpower. Gosh, we're in the middle of April here. We draw nigh to the end of the spring semester. That usually wraps up, doesn't it, around the first week of May, second week of May, something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is fast approaching. So I believe that's right. Maybe finals. There's two more weeks of my PR class, and then we have finals, and then we have a little bit of a gap before graduation. Last year, we had a record number of students march in graduation. That's a great sign, which basically means that we're retaining more students, and our numbers coming out of student affairs and enrollment management indicate that students are sticking around longer. Mm-hmm. From a college perspective, we always felt that students could utilize BC3 however he or she wanted. If you want it for a semester, a year, summer classes. But now this larger strategy of having the students stick around toward graduation, and that very much seems to be happening. So as the end of the semester approaches, we're eyeing graduation, nurses pinning, summer classes, mm-hmm. and we already have our eye on for next academic year enrollment.
And this graduation this year is our 50th graduation ceremony. So we'll be celebrating 50 years of graduates in May.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. I know that the bachelor's degree completion program has been underway for a while at the main campus, but I understand they've done that for the first time now up at Brockway, too. Is that right?
Yes, BC3 at Brockway launched its first bachelor's degree completion program, and that is with St. Francis University. And students can transfer up to 98 BC3 credits to St. Francis. They would be earning their degree in organizational leadership online, but then the final credits would be through St. Francis, the final 30 credits. So 98 credits at BC3's tuition is a heck of a lot of credits to transfer over to get your bachelor's degree. So,
And this is all approved in advance, right?
That's correct.
I mean, if you don't have one of these agreements, then, I mean, you can do it, but it's a laborious process.
That's
check with the school where you intended to go, and, you know, will you accept this English course or this math course or whatever. They look over what's happening at BC3, and they give the imprimatur. Okay, this is all good stuff. If you pass this stuff, we're counting it toward your degree.
Yeah, a straight transfer wouldn't be anywhere near 98 credits of moving over at our tuition.
Yeah, so the credits would transfer, but it would be more of a 2 plus 2 years at BC3 and 2 years at St. Francis. This is, my goodness, this is a 3-1. So I love mentioning to our parents of students and our students, make no mistake about it, you are the smart student. You are making the correct choice. You are utilizing this affordable, quality, accessible education opportunity, not only earning the associate's degree, but also the baccalaureate degree. And you know, Dave, speaking of that, I don't know if Jess was in this session or not. Interesting. So talk about student debt. And we had a keynote speaker in Harrisburg who shared some information. And I think, you know, previously I had always given the advice, whether at BC3, Marist, Clarion, West Virginia, whatever, you can never go wrong with getting more education.
Mm-hmm.
Not so sure that's the case nowadays. This is the first time in the history of our country where a baccalaureate degree has a higher median wage than a master's degree.
Wow.
And what is also interesting is seeing how the associate degrees have very much cut into the baccalaureate degrees. So you mentioned you know, previous workplaces here in Butler and kind of in the Rust Belt, what have you. And I know in our household it was a goal of my father and mother to put my brother and I through school so we didn't have to work in the mill. And now it's a very interesting, you know, swing of the pendulum going back to we need these manufacturer type, technical type workers, and frankly that's where the wage is.
Mm-hmm.
So you can come out with an associate's degree at a higher wage than entry level with a baccalaureate, and as our keynote speaker mentioned, you know, master's degree might be too much of a degree, so you really need to analyze that.
You're spending a lot more money to get that master's too. Just so listeners aren't confused, an associate degree is a 2-year degree.
Yes.
That you would get from a community college like Butler County Community College. So statistics now indicating that you can actually start at a higher wage in certain fields with an associate's degree than with a bachelor's. And by the way, the manufacturing field here locally, I've talked with several companies about the new high-tech manufacturing, and Butler County's on the cutting edge. I mean, we've got Penn United Technologies, we've got Oberg Manufacturing, and there are several others as well. These are career jobs.
Oh, yeah.
There. And first of all, you have to be good. You need math skills. You know, you need that associate's degree. But it's the new manufacturing careers.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It's not the same as working in a foundry or something like that. And we have all those jobs around here.
Yeah.
And those employers are looking for new smart employees, and they want to keep them.
Absolutely.
They don't want somebody that's going to work there for a year or two and then go somewhere else.
I believe, I don't know if I have this right, but blue collar, white collar, and I think the term now is a graying of the collar.
Mm-hmm.
And actually this came up also. I could not agree more with this statement. We've talked about this before. Technical degrees at the expense of the liberal arts, and our presenter said it needs to be one package deal. You know, liberal arts teaches communication, critical thinking, among many, many other things. And I sometimes, often, particularly when money gets tight, find myself in discussions where people are emphasizing all the technical. And while I believe that there's a great opportunity for students to take classes at BC3 on the credit and the workforce non-credit side, I always am a big proponent of the need for the well-rounded liberal arts student, and our keynote speaker seemed to endorse this.
Talk a little bit about the launching of a new patient care technician certificate. And first of all, we should mention the difference between a certificate and an associate's degree. Can you explain that, Dr. Neupau? Or Jess, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I will start, and then Jess might have some great detail on this exciting program. This actually does tie into to my previous statement. So an associate degree would be on the academic side, and we have these certificates that are on the workforce side of the house. So basically, by taking these classes, getting these hours, and passing some certified tests, you would have the opportunity to go directly into the workplace. Real estate would be an example of that when we had our energy program and roustabout and floor hand training. So under Lisa Campbell's direction, we certainly have heard from a lot of long-term care facilities and their need for workers. Understanding that registered nurses have a great marketability and are basically being gobbled up by healthcare systems. Mm-hmm. So this is in response to an advisory board where you put this program together, Jess.
Yeah, this certificate, it would be a position that would be under the direct supervision of a registered nurse, but this is a non-credit certificate, and it was developed due to the shortage regionally and nationally of those able to provide that basic nursing care. Students will go through this 9-month certificate program, and they have earned an American Medical Certification Association certification. So it's AMA. It is. They also earn a certification in phlebotomy and to be an EKG technician wrapped into one. Mm-hmm. So that is all part of this overall patient care technician certification.
So armed with that certificate, you can go to an assisted living facility or something like that, and yeah. they know that you're ready to go. They know that you're ready to go to work.
And actually, the speaker brought this up. Maybe Jess can help me out. You know, we have two types of the students who are applying for med school. Would you rather have a student like that who would certainly have to earn the academic credential and maybe works part-time as an EMS? And this person said, you know, can write an essay as to what it's like mm-hmm. to have a person who's passing away in your arms as you're trying to save that person, as opposed to someone who spent lots of money at a liberal arts institution and has the liberal arts credential. I'm not diminishing that in any shape, but it's a very interesting comparison, and that's what today's community college is all about.
So this patient care technician certificate program will start
in August.
In the fall?
Launches in August, okay. Yes. There's information on our website about it.
It'll be a fall semester thing. Any other new programs getting underway? I don't know. You have so many already.
I'm proud to talk a little bit about our city initiative. So we are continuing to move in the city initiative. I wrote an op-ed piece not all that long ago for the Progress edition of the Eagle, and I laid out some of our plans. And we do look to establish a downtown presence, a small downtown presence, perhaps with some grant money and definitely the right partnership. Can't emphasize that enough. But we're already offering a number of programs with the target of the downtown in mind. And us working with a lot of individuals on this larger opiate initiative, we have this Reset Your Brain class series that deals with that. Our first class drew 34 students, and our second drew 36. Those numbers blew me away. And so we continue at a very good pace as part of our strategic plan, and we are also looking in the very near future to have what we're calling is a living and learning community to establish housing for our students in the city of Butler, and we are starting to move on some meetings and talking about that.
So when you say a presence downtown, you mean a physical space?
Yeah, physical space in downtown. We think it's incredibly symbolic for the college to even have a sign on a shingle in the downtown area. And again, we are emphasizing our role as educator and convener. We think that there's a strength in the college calling folks together, and some meetings that we've had have indicated that, some great speakers that we've had. And also, we'll never lose track of our role as an educator. And again, a total of 70 students for the first couple of classes for this Reset Your Brain that deals with the opiate initiative speaks volumes as to what we could provide as an educator.
There are still two more classes, too, in that class series coming up in April.
I'm intrigued by the title, Reset Your Brain. It's an educational program about the dangers of opiate abuse?
Or? Well, it ties back to a book title by Steve Treu, who... His book is named Reset Your Brain, A Revolutionary Approach to Opioid Addiction and Recovery. So it's his approach to dealing with that epidemic.
Now I get the connection.
Yes.
I wasn't quite sure whether it was crossword puzzle work? Or
yeah. he's a licensed professional, and he's got experience, and he came and spoke. Earlier in the semester, yeah, at the college about the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And now these classes are a series of classes on that topic.
And there's still two more opportunities for that?
Yes, April 17th and April 24th. It's bc3.edu/reset, and that's all the information on those classes, and they're free.
I wanted to mention something about books. I saw a Wire story here not too long ago that had some statistics in it that were really eye-opening. This is according to the latest National Association of College Bookstores survey. The average cost for 10 required course materials last year was $579. And that was actually down a couple of bucks from the year before, but it's right around $600 a year for books.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, that's about what we estimate.
Really? Wow. So you're it's right in line with the national statistics, huh? Mm-hmm. There was also a thrust to this article that said they're trying as much as possible to get books online now,
yeah,
so that students don't actually have to physically purchase them. I'm assuming there would be a price to get it online, just as, you know, when you want to download an e-book or something like that. But obviously, it would be a heck of a lot less than $600.
Yeah, and we do that. And actually, there's a new model. You remember back in our day, you had two choices, to buy a new book or to buy a used book, and mm-hmm. in my case, hoping that it would be highlighted with all the key points from the student before. Now we have another option. Students can still do that, but you can rent a book. Uh-huh. And by renting a book, it is significantly, significantly cheaper. You put your credit card on an account. You turn your book back after you rent it. Mm-hmm. It's almost like leasing a car. Mm-hmm. And depending upon the condition of the book, your credit card could be charged. I know for our daughter, not only taking BC3 classes, but also as a sophomore at IUP, we take more of the renting option. And while we have a great bookstore staff, the power of the internet and the World Wide Web, there are lots of different options where a student, just like selecting BC3 in his or her educational journey, can search online for different book options. And you'd be able to knock that price down. I think we made one other change, and that had to do with our financial aid. Is that I hope I have this right, previously students had to have their financial aid deposited to get their books, and now we have a sort of an IOU, right, where students can get their books without the financial aid in their hands, and then when they get it, they backfill the bookstore.
Right. So there are some options, that along with the textbook rental, to help our students afford those costs. Another cost of attending college, and back to your point earlier about the work-study programs, I mean, mm-hmm. that type of supplemental income can help with those sorts of things.
It's a real eye-opener for most traditional students who are going from high school right into community college, because in most cases in high school, the textbooks are provided.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're the property of the school district. You have to erase all your marks and turn them back in at the end of the school year. So it's a bit of an eye-opener. I can remember the first history class I took when I got into undergraduate school, and the professor hands out this syllabus on the first day of class, and there were 9 books. Yeah. One was a textbook,
yeah,
a traditional textbook, but we had to buy the Federalist Papers. It was an American history course. All this ancillary stuff, it adds up when you're buying nine books for one course, you know.
Yeah.
So, significant expense. I had not heard of the rent-a-book program. That sounds like a good idea. I'm like you. I bought a used book if I could, because it didn't matter if it was all marked up. In fact, the more highlights, the better.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need to take another break here, I do believe. Do we not? Yes, I'm checking with Pat Parker, our producer here. So let's do that. We'll come back and cover a couple of more things. Just a reminder, we're going to be stepping out a couple of minutes early today, only because we're going to Wrigley Field for Pirate baseball, as the Pirates play what turns out to be the rubber game with the Cubs at Wrigley today. As we'll take a break and be back to wrap up our conversation with our guests here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick two is 3838. The pick three, 857, 857. The pick four is 4139. The pick five, 21886. The wild ball for each of those is 5. And the treasure hunt, 2, 12, 21, 24, and 30. Estimated jackpot at $10,000 for tomorrow's treasure hunt.
Central Electric Cooperative understands the importance of teaching electrical safety. Our free safety programs for adults and youth demonstrate electrical dangers. Our Safety City program is geared toward youth and can be brought to any organization, event, or school. It shows how to avoid everyday dangerous electrical situations. We offer live high voltage demonstrations at our headquarters in Parker for both adult and youth organizations. We also have a first responders electrical hazards training. First responders know emergencies can involve electric lines and equipment and are likely to be first on the scene. Our program helps them identify and handle situations involving electrical equipment and stay safe. Contact us today to schedule your free presentation. Together, we can save lives and prevent potentially hazardous electric-related situations. This is Renee Tritton for Central Electric Cooperative. Our tradition is to service. Our responsibility is to safety. This institution is an equal opportunity provider and employer.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back. We're chatting with Dr. Nick Neupower, the president of Butler County Community College. Also visiting with us is Jess Matnock, director of communications and marketing at the school. There were a couple of things we wanted to mention in terms of things that have happened. There were students from a painting class at BC3 that did very well in a recent competition. Jess, can you fill us in on that?
Yes, our students entered the Motion and Abstract Contest, and that was sponsored by Bagler Mazda. There were students in our Introduction to Painting class with the instructors, David Ludwig, for that class. And they submitted this piece of art that was so cool.
Yeah.
It looked like a fireball. Mm-hmm. It was really interesting.
Was it a painting?
It was a painting. Yeah. It was on four canvas panels.
Oh, wow.
And they submitted this entry. Slippery Rock University submitted an entry, and the Butler Arts Center submitted an entry, and they took votes online. And BC3 won. So we were very excited and proud of our students, not just for winning, but for the piece that they put together, because it's really neat.
Does the school get an honorarium for that? For
Yes, I believe $1,000.
Oh, how nice.
And the artwork is on display at Bagler Mazda.
Yeah.
So if you would like to see it, you can stop by there.
That's
and
right.
See it.
Yeah, that showroom is out on
it is
City
on
Road.
68.
Yeah, Route 68 West, yeah. Also, three former BC3 athletes are going to be inducted into the Sports Hall of Fame out there next month.
Yeah, the Charles Dunaway Pioneer Hall of Fame on Saturday, May 5th. The three athletes are Bryant Lewandowski. He's our all-time leading scorer in basketball. Becky Jo Higgins-Array, she's the co-captain and left-handed softball catcher, And then Mike Franco is also going to be inducted. He ran cross-country for BC3 when we had a cross-country program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there something unusual about a left-handed catcher?
Left-handed catcher, third baseman, and shortstop. Yeah, that is very unusual. That is very.
I know. A first baseman, if it's a woman's softball team, a first base person, I guess.
Yeah.
But left-handed is preferable for that position. Most first basemen are left-handed. I didn't realize that. a catcher that was left-handed was rare.
That is unusual, yes.
She was also the team captain, and they had a great record when she was on the team as well. So
I guess if you're trying to throw somebody out, the typical right-handed batter would be in the whatever. The Pioneer Hall of Fame is named after Charles W. Dunaway, a legendary name in sports.
Oh, yeah.
At BC3.
I often say, and of course you know this as a part of a background here growing up in Western Pennsylvania, sports are so important as part of our culture. You mentioned Pullman Standard, the mills, the immigrants who came over having a tough time fitting in, mm-hmm. and where they felt was justice on a playing field, in a boxing ring, on a court, what have you. And it is certainly very important in the history of our institution also. And Coach Dunaway was very important in the development of athletics at BC3. Interestingly, not long ago, for our 50th anniversary, when we brought President Tenhove back, he was the president that was responsible for the building of our field house. And just to see the pride in his eyes, because his administration made it possible with state support to get what is a beautiful field house that we use for a number of purposes. So this Hall of Fame, this will be our third class, and it looks like another great one.
Charles Dunaway was one of the early faculty members at County Community College when it was founded, now a little over 50 years ago. There's one more, I think it's the last event in the Performing Arts Series. Am I correct on that, Jess?
There is one more in May.
Okay, but there's one coming up very soon.
There's one coming up, and it is cellist Robin Hazenflew and friends. They're going to perform Music by the Numbers at the Suck Up Theater on Sunday, April 15th. Their performance is at 2. It'll feature different combinations of instruments and arrangements by the cellist.
This Sunday, by the way.
It is. And then also our Pioneer Players will perform Harvey, which is a Jimmy Stewart classic. That's on April 26th and 27th at 7:30, and then on the 28th at 2 p.m., and that is student-performed, student-directed as well.
Have you ever seen the show?
I have not.
Have you seen the movie?
I have not.
Yes.
Jimmy Stewart did the movie. If I tell you this, Jess, you're gonna laugh, and you're not going to think it's very good. The Jimmy Stewart character sees an imaginary rabbit throughout the entire film, or for the stage show, throughout the entire
I've heard
show.
Of this, yes. Mm-hmm.
He sees and talks to an imaginary rabbit.
Yeah.
It's a hoot.
Sounds compelling.
Yeah. So that's going to be at the end of the month. The Hazenflug concert is this coming Sunday. She's a cellist, folks. I knew what a cello was, but I can't say that I ever appreciated how really beautiful it could be, even by itself or just with a couple of other instruments, until Yo-Yo Ma,
mm-hmm.
you know. And he was on Fred Rogers.
I just was
sakes.
Going to say that. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Fred Rogers would bring him on, and you know, just his cello.
Yeah.
Such a warm sound from a cello. Yeah. I hope to be able to see that on Sunday. Tickets still available, I'm sure, for the Sunday performance.
Of course, yeah, online, or you can call the box office.
This Sunday, I can't believe this Sunday is April 15th already, for goodness sakes. Wow. Well, good to see the two of you. Thanks for stopping by today. We're getting close to the end of the spring semester, so give it that one last shot, and we'll be ready to go for the summer, huh?
Absolutely.
Prepping for summer and fall, yep.
Do That's I sound right. like a guy who's anxious to get on the golf course?
A little bit.
Well, we keep track of these things, and I know that last year I played my first match on April 2nd.
Okay.
So I'm way overdue.
I was going to say, a couple weeks behind.
Way overdue. We'll remedy that this weekend. Dr. Nick Neupower, president of Butler County Community College, visiting with us, and Jess Matnock as well, executive director of communications and marketing. Just a quick reminder, tomorrow we're really looking forward to having a nice sit-down with Jim Diamond. Talked with Jim a couple of times on the phone as we were arranging this program and kind of determining just exactly what we were going to talk about. So I look forward to having him here tomorrow. The history and the legacy of Pullman Standard. I've done a little bit of background research, come up with some aerial photographs, and it was so big, it's hard to imagine how big that plant was. on the outskirts of the city of Butler, and what an economic loss it was when it suddenly closed some 30 years ago, mm-hmm. maybe a little more than that. Jim will know these things when he visits with us tomorrow. He's very knowledgeable on the history and the legacy of Pullman Standard. Also tomorrow, guests from the CB Rangers will be with us. I understand they're looking for new members, so we'll talk about what they do as well. Meanwhile, stay tuned, because coming up very, very shortly, in another minute or so, we've got Pittsburgh Pirate Baseball live from Wrigley Field in Chicago, where the Pirates and the Cubs will be playing this afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:30 on It's Your Turn here on WISR.
Confused by all the talk about a good night's sleep? There's a lot of new mattress companies, but they're all missing something. They're missing expertise. Introducing Tomorrow, the new mattress and sleep system from Serta Simmons Bedding. Tomorrow is great sleep, delivered right to your door. Learn to love your bed. Use promo code SAVE2 at tomorrowsleep.com for $200 off when spending $500 or more at tomorrowsleep.com.